many tools, too much stress, and way too many bills.
Odoo replaces it all. One connected platform for every part of your business, so you can work faster, smarter, and for less. Odoo, the only software you'll ever need. Try it free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Tuesday afternoon, May 6th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hartz. Rising toy prices could hit shoppers hard this Christmas season. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, weakness in the economy is pressuring the Fed to cut rates, but recent political tensions complicate the path forward. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver, Colorado, and author of the book Understanding Central Banking. David, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like the through line for all analysis regarding where the economy is going to go under pressure from tariffs or proposed tariffs is that everybody is just saying, I don't know. And it seems to be that the challenge that the Fed is facing as they meet this week.
You summed it up perfectly. Tariff uncertainty is the name of the game. Nobody is sure how much effect the tariffs will have on inflation. Right now, I think most Fed policymakers are looking at the labor market. If the labor market weakens, meaning that the monthly payroll numbers will be weaker and the unemployment rate higher, the Fed could cut. But when we look at April, it was a strong number, 177,000 jobs, 4.2% unemployment rate. That's a solid economy. And so right now, no rate cuts are on the horizon.
Now, what is the federal funds rate relative to the latest inflation read, the latest PCE read? And are those numbers in sync?
Not really that much. The Fed has been very uncertain as to how much they should adjust. I think at most, we would get one cut in the funds rate later in the year. We're still in restrictive territory if you look at that funds rate, but nobody is quite sure how restrictive it is. So what we're looking at is just a lot of uncertainty.
And part of that fog of uncertainty is just a great deal of rhetoric and opinion and analysis that is out there. But if you strip out all of the rhetoric and the opinion and the analysis and you look strictly at the numbers, you take that data-driven approach that Chairman Powell touts at every news conference, what do you see?
Just one more cut this year. No more than that. Maybe more likely later in the year, perhaps at the September meeting, maybe the October meeting, somewhere out there. the possibility of one cut, but the early analysis for the year pointing to a lot of cuts is simply wrong.
And then as far as the job of fighting inflation is concerned, did the Fed achieve the soft landing? Is that fight over?
Well, it's hard to say. The tariff uncertainty raises that question. I was ready to declare when we talked again that we were looking at a soft landing and a masterful job by the Fed chairman, but that tariff uncertainty is just overwhelming at the moment, and it looks like we probably will end up with inflation higher than we wanted as a result of tariffs and growth weaker than we thought, maybe 1% or less as we get toward the end of the year.
David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver, Colorado, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Mattel warns toy prices are rising, likely impacting Christmas shopping.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Toy maker Mattel warns price hikes as a result of tariffs. Many wonder how this will impact Christmas. Joining us to discuss is Bob Fibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, the website retaildoc.com. If you can tell it's Mattel, it's swell. That was the old advertising campaign slogan, Bob. But far from a swell forecast from the current Mattel CEO when talking about the impact of tariffs on holiday shopping.
Well, there's a reason Mattel stock is down about 19%, and anyone in retail can tell you that the people who feel like everyone will be fine and tariffs will just be eaten by people is just wrong. I mean, Mattel withdrew their financial guidance, and the CEO said, look, you know, there's no way that you're going to be seeing toy manufacturing back to America, even though a lot of design and ingenuity of it and product ideas come from America. They've always gone offshore. So the toy business in particular is in the critical area here, because a lot of toy stores are smaller mom and pops, and they don't have the leverage. You know, they only make 5% on the dollar. So how are they going to eat 40, 50, 100% tariffs? It's like they're buying retail at they're buying wholesale at retail prices. And no one seems to be able to stop this.
It's interesting you talk about how the toys are designed in America but made elsewhere, because you talk to people who really believe in the free trade model that we have enjoyed over the past couple of decades, is that you would much rather design the toy than make the toy from an economic growth standpoint.
Well, this idea that everyone is going to be manufacturing in the U.S., look, people want to wear Nike. They don't want to make Nike in the U.S. The reality is it's hard to get people just to work in a Starbucks or other places. And this idea that somehow manufacturing is going to just spring up and take place is a concern. So Christmas decorations, Halloween costumes, there's a lot of products that have to make their buys in the next roughly 4 to 5 weeks. And back to school is already pretty much done. And retailers are trying to put the best face they can on it, but it's very scary. And a lot of little toy manufacturers and smaller people are just having to leave containers of product in China because they can't afford to bring it here. So when is somebody going to help retail and call this out? Because it's a huge issue. And I think it's being downplayed, like, oh, they're just tariffs. Someone else pays them. When you see it in your invoices in a store, it's very scary because you know you're the one that's going to take the pushback. It's almost like the pushback we had from masks is going to happen when pushback from tariffs. Why aren't you just eating that? You make all this money. So it's not a great time to be in retail.
Expand on the timeline when it comes to making all of your buys for Christmas. You mentioned that back to school is pretty much in the books
now. Yeah, pretty much done. Yeah.
So how far in advance, if you know these things are coming, back to school is August, September, and the holiday season begins October, November, December, how far in advance do you have to get those items locked down that will show up in the stores months from now?
Holiday orders are being placed now. The window for that is, again, your goal would be to have that certainly done by the beginning of June, I would think. you can make last buys in a little bit later. But the problem is everyone is afraid. Is he going to turn the tariffs off tomorrow? Is he going to say, oh, they're gone? Reality is anything hitting a port right now is going to pay that price. So if that gets changed and suddenly all of these products you've just bought for twice as much as they normally are, who pays for that? It's a big concern.
And then you talk about the toy store marketplace very quickly. I mean, Toys R Us is now a pop-up brand, and yeah, they do show up in big box stores.
Macy's,
Who is the average? What is the average toy store like in 2025?
I think they're still single mom and pop operators. They love education. They love helping people with small children. They're passionate about it. Again, their target market is basically like 5 to 11-year-olds. So you age in and you age out of it. And so they constantly have a group of people entering and leaving. But the key is they're not raking in money. This isn't like you can say, oh, well, Starbucks will eat the cost difference. No, these are small independent retailers who aren't used to being this far under the gun. And I say more retailers should. I know there's a toy association, I believe, in Indiana that has now joined a lawsuit to challenge the legality of this Emergency Tariff Act. And make no mistake, retail is responsible for 1 in 4 jobs in America. This is going to hit a lot of people, and demand goes down, and suddenly everything comes back to one person making an act that is adding cost to retail through a tax that's called a tariff. It's very unjust.
Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, thank you for joining us today.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Newark Airport faces ongoing delays as staffing shortages and equipment failures disrupt flights, prompting United CEO to warn travelers to avoid it altogether, as it has canceled dozens of daily flights due to serious safety concerns. Joining us with the latest is Joe Sweeterman, Professor of Public Services and Director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Joe, thank you for joining us today. Now, Newark is a hub for United, so there must be some serious problems there for the United CEO to say, avoid it entirely.
Yeah, that's a remarkable statement. I mean, Newark and Texas, Houston go hand in hand for the largest hubs for United, with, O'Hare just a tad behind. And for to say that, at a time when passengers are booking summer travel and so forth, it's a big statement.
The situation as it stands in Newark right now was there was a situation last week in which air traffic controllers in New York more or less lost contact with nearly all of the air traffic because of a technological issue. The radar tracking of airplanes and also communication with airplanes went down for several minutes. And that is a nightmare scenario if you are an air traffic controller unable to contact planes over a very busy piece of airspace where there are so many different types of aircraft just whizzing around. And I know I've said this before on the Noon Business Hour, but there's a really good movie about the pressures that a lot of air traffic controllers are under in big cities. And that is Pushing 10 with John Cusack, which was released 25 years ago. But they just talked about the psychological pressure that a lot of controllers are under. And as a result of this outage in New York last week, you had a number of controllers who were over the New York region who left more or less for mental health reasons. They had to encountered this nightmare scenario technologically, and that is the reason why there are so many problems with the Newark airport in the last couple of days, just because there is a staffing shortage. And we also discussed in the Noon Business Hour before just the problems that the FAA has and has had and continues to have in finding and training air traffic controllers. It takes years to make an air traffic controller, and rightfully so, because of the complexity of the job. But the issue is when someone retires, and a number of controllers have retired, these are controllers who were hired on in the wake of President Reagan breaking the PATCO strike in 1981. These controllers have come on the job, they have reached retirement age, and when they retire, it takes a very long time to find their replacement, which is why it's when there is a staffing shortage in an airport, it really really bites, especially in the big city.
At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The noon business hour continues. Markets are lower today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tim Griske, Senior Portfolio Strategist at Ingalls & Snyder in New York. Tim, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like traders and investors are playing the old waiting game. They're waiting for trade deals and they're waiting on new information or new analysis from the Fed.
Exactly, Rob. We're waiting on the Fed to see what the Fed does. You know, this is going to be key to how the economy does and going forward. So that's a huge part of everything. And of course, you know, tariffs are the other big issue out there. We're still in the early stages, we think, of that negotiation process. We're hopeful that it will lead to a better economy here. And, you know, won't disrupt this great global trade we have that has benefited so many companies.
Uncertainty is the word of the last 4 weeks. And what will happen if Fed Chair Jerome Powell gets up during his news conference once their interest rate decision has been made and shrugs his shoulders and says, your guess is as good as mine?
I think that's actually what he believes. And that's why we think the Fed is stuck in neutral here right now, at least for the time being. You know, Powell doesn't want to make a mistake. And I think the worst thing he could probably do is make a dramatic change. So, you know, until we have better data on the economy, until we have some real hard facts, best to stay in the sideline. And that's what we think is going to happen.
And then when it comes to assessing the economy, how much weight does consumer sentiment get in the overall statistical picture? Because I'm thinking right now that this is the first time in the history of elevated interest rates where we have this informational environment. We had elevated interest rates in the 90s. We had elevated interest rates in the 80s, of course. But that was also back at a time when financial news was largely siloed to cable channels or to the business section of your local newspaper. But now it's everywhere. It's on social media. People can post charts and graphs and scream and yell into their phone about their take on what's going on. And does that complicate things for policymakers?
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, the data is certainly out there for everybody to look at and react to. But how many people are going to spend their lives looking at that data and trying to project, you know, say what the Fed's going to do? So, you know, while the data is there, and that is helpful to all of us who are analysts and observers of the markets, it really doesn't impact the overall population, we don't think.
And then as this tariff saga moves forward and everybody is really just kind of watching and waiting to see what happens next, what are some data points? What are some benchmarks that can give us an idea of what is going to happen when it actually happens?
Oh, I wish we knew. I think, you know, Trump is a controversial figure, of course, but he is a great negotiator. He really is. And we expect him to come away from all of this with fair deals. He'll probably kick and scream and say they're not good enough. But any movement of the needle to create more of an equal playing field is going to be really great, I think, for this economy and for this country and the world. So, you know, we're not worried about, Trump coming away from this with absolutely nothing. There are going to be some tough negotiations. Certainly China is going to be hard, the European Union, Canada as well. But we really think what Trump is after is just some type of level playing field.
Tim Griske, Senior Portfolio Strategist at Ingalls & Snyder in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, discovering the timeless romance of rail vacations.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking, and rail vacations offer a unique and stress-free way to explore the country. From coast-to-coast journeys to alpine adventures, travelers can embrace the romance of the rails, relaxing in comfort while watching stunning landscapes unfold. Joining us to discuss is Liz Owens, General Manager of Vacations by Rail in Chicago. Liz, thank you for joining us today. And oh, what timing to have this particular segment, Liz, because 2 weeks ago, it was spring break for my kids' school, and we decided to have a little bit of a getaway, nothing extravagant. We just took the train to St. Louis and back, and I was amazed at how pleasant the experience was both going there and coming back. The train was on time, leaving and getting to St. Louis. We got back to Chicago early, as a matter of fact, on the way back. And the kids had a great time just playing board games and playing cards and just watching the scenery go by. So it really did pass the family vacation test with flying colors.
Well, Rob, I'm excited to hear that you've had an experience and that it was positive. It's really nice when you come in early.
Now, what I was thinking afterwards, and I bounced this off the kids, was what do you say, because we were in the Sightseer Lounge on the Amtrak train coming back with the windows that go above your head over the ceiling. I thought, well, what about instead of just watching Illinois go by at 101 miles an hour, why don't we go to the West Coast when you can see the Rocky Mountains in daylight? Take the train out to San Francisco, just get a couple of roomettes, a couple of berths, and take the train out to the West Coast and make that the vacation. But one thing I discovered very quickly is that those Amtrak long-distance trains fill up pretty quickly, and they are relatively pricey.
They are, and it leaves you with all the planning. So part of why the founders who started this here in Chicago 20 years ago thought there was a market is we really take a lot of the guesswork out of it. So not only do we have escorted tours, where we've got that seat on Amtrak for you, we kind of round out the trip with being able to take you through national parks, get you into some good restaurants, and coach you throughout those places where the rail can't access. So that's why a lot of people tend to come to us to take some of that guesswork out.
Now, if you're going to the West Coast and you're going through the mountains, whether you are doing it north through Montana on the Empire Builder, or if you're going through Colorado and Utah on the California Zephyr, my original thought was just go end to end, leave Chicago, get off the train in Oakland, enjoy a couple of days in San Francisco, and fly back. But what are some fun things that you can do along the way without access to a car that you may not know about? As an Amtrak passenger?
Yeah, well, you kind of touched on it. The onboard experience is really special. It's kind of social in nature. You get more chance to move about than you do on a plane. So it's a great chance to see the scenery. Our founder often calls it a movie museum because you can look out the window and see the sights. And then it is a great way to disconnect, play board games, read, do that type of thing. They do offer fresh air breaks, so there are some times where you get some time to look. But a lot of our trips are exactly as you described, what we would call open jaw, where you take rail out and then you fly back. And I'm very impressed with your knowledge of Empire Builder and the California Zephyr. Another popular one for families is the Southwest Chief, which takes you down into the Grand Canyon. And there's other rail you can see down in that area as well, and it's easy to get your way back, whether by train or plane or driving.
Well, Liz, I have taken over the Bob Roberts chair of the resident train nerd at the radio station. So when I talk about these long distance trains, these are some trips I've wanted to make literally since I was 8 years old. And one day we'll do it. But when it comes to the cost of the bedroom or the cost of the roomettes on a long distance Amtrak train, especially out west, may make you swallow hard. But you do get your meal as part of that trip. And anybody who has kids knows dinner for five can get pretty expensive rather quickly.
Correct. And what's more fun than sitting in a dining car on a train, enjoying what is a good meal? I mean, one of my favorite experiences is on the Glacier Express in Switzerland, where you get to see the Swiss Alps. You have this amazing meal served to you. You get to hear about all the history. I mean, there's just really no other dining experience like that. And on Amtrak, they're trying to do the same, especially with those longer trips. If you don't like overnight, you know, there are options up in Canada with Rocky Mountaineer, where they partnered with the Fairmont and you get a night in a hotel before you get back on. So there's lots of different ways to have that rail experience that you're describing, whether it's an overnight or just a longer day trip.
Liz Owens, General Manager of Vacations by Rail in Chicago, thank you for joining us today.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Mother's Day is Sunday, and this year's trends include traditional dining out, but home-cooked brunches are also growing in popularity, along with memorable experiences like spa days or art classes. But in the end, it's all about creating special moments that make mom feel truly appreciated. We welcome in Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. When we talk about Mother's Day trends, what are some of the tried and true favorites, and what are some new ideas that are gaining traction?
Hey, Rob, thank you for having me. You know, the usual gift is tried and true, as you speak, is flowers, food, jewelry. That's typical. You know, food too can be, as you say, you know, breakfast in bed is always nice. But also brunches, you know, there's so many brunches that still have availability based on what I've seen in the Tribune today and elsewhere, but things like that. But also, you know, there's a lot of other things that you can do that can be more unique. I mean, if your mother is a painter, for example, get some art supplies, or, you know, if she's kind of crazy about books, find some books that she can read that you think she might like, that kind of thing. You know, and a lot of, we talk a lot about experience giving now, you know, how everybody wants to give an experience. I have to tell you, my daughter and stepdaughter, who have very young kids at home, they just want a day all alone. They don't have to experience anything. They just want to be alone.
You know what? That is worth its weight in gold. It is impossible to quantify. I mean, a Mother's Day where you do nothing and you don't have to be anywhere, you don't have to meet any schedules, that could be the greatest gift of all.
Yeah, they're like I just want to be totally alone like this, and that is a great gift, and I'm sure that's what you're giving your wife for Mother's Day, right?
Well, the original plan was to have my daughter and I make brunch for her at home, and that has since transmogrified into a family brunch at a local establishment cooked by professionals. But Mrs. Hart is a big gardener, so last year the whole family we just planted.
Oh, that's a nice gift. That's a very nice gift, because then you're doing what she wants to do and you're helping her, because gardening is a lot of work. So that's a really great gift. For those of us like me, whose mom is no longer here, I honor her by, you know, while I talk to her and everything during the day, but I do little things that remind me of her, you know, just when she was cooking or whatever she was doing. And sometimes I even buy a gift for myself from her.
Well, once again, it's just the thought and the care that goes into it. Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter, thank you for joining us today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40. period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.